we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, of course, to Blog Talk Radio, talking sports with the 12 men. Today is Wednesday, August the 3rd. Obviously, very excited to be on the show. Andre Peterson, also with Robert Ford. Once again, getting your daily dose of sports from the 12th man perspective. We got a lot to go over. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Rob Ford, as you know, very
call
excited.
Call in, America.
Yeah, the call number, we'll have it out. The call number is basically 424-243-9519. Once again, that is 424-243-9519 for those that are checking. But obviously a flurry of activity because obviously the NFL lockout has been over for about a good, I don't know how many days, but at least about a good couple days here. And obviously there have been a flurry of moves that have been going down. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the team that everyone is pretty much going, rooting out as paper champions to the Super Bowl. We've got the Eagles. We'll touch base, obviously, on the retirement, the abrupt retirement of Randy Moss. And if we get time, we'll talk about linebackers, rookie linebackers that are going to make an impact, and most likely some division winners. But I don't think we'll get to that today. But we'll see how the show kicks off. So, Mr. Robert Ford, flurry of NFL moves. What do you think, what team has made a pretty good impact as far as making moves? And I know we're going to hopefully go to the same team we're thinking about, which is the Eagles. But what do you think of team that's making some good
moves?
Well,
definitely you would have to say Philadelphia has definitely made the most big-name moves. Is this going to catapult them to a Super Bowl championship? I'm not quite sure of that. But I think on paper they got a lot of big names. You got to wonder how the chemistry and the team is going to gel. I think my concern might be more on the offensive side of the ball than the defense. The defensive team, your defense, those guys are not looking to fight for a share of the ball. They're trying to stop the opponent. Typically when you put a lot of superstars on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of those guys are going to want the ball. And so that will be interesting to kind of see how that plays out. When you have a guy like LeSean McCoy and now you're adding Ronnie Brown, you still have DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, and you got Brent Celek, the tight end. So on paper, I'm definitely going to say they're my favorite to win the NFC East. And I think they will at least make it to the NFC Championship game. I haven't quite decided if I think they're going to go that further than that. But I would think they've done a really good job thus far. And then you add guys like Cullen Jenkins, Nnamdi Asomugha, and then you also get Jason Babin. He trade for Cromartie Rogers. On paper, they look like the paper champs, but we'll see if that brings them to a Super Bowl championship or not.
That's very interesting, too. I think they have some missing pieces. They're not quite there. I mean, obviously, offensively, as you mentioned, they've got some weapons. You better hope that DeSean Jackson doesn't be a distraction like you talked about. We talked about chemistry. I don't think their linebacking core is that strong right now. That could be me. Obviously, they lost their starting safety last year, Quentin McHale, I want to say, as well. So,
yes.
There's just some pieces that, like you said, right now they look like paper champions. And if you heard everything they're talking about this year as far as Randy Moss possibly, they were trying to lure him to come out of retirement. I don't think that's going to happen, obviously, but you never know, but that's something that, like you talked about, they definitely made a lot of splashes, made the most headlines, if you will. But, like you said, could this be a very similar scenario to the Miami Heat? They're making the most moves and getting all the big-name players, but it still comes down to chemistry and little things like that, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one area that a lot of people are not talking about is the Eagles struggled with the offensive line last year. And I'm not sure if they made any huge upgrades. I mean, they did draft Danny Watkins, a guard out of Baylor in the first round. You know, he's probably a guy that's going to come in and start right away. And, I mean, they picked up Brian Harris from the Broncos. But other than that, I'm not sure if those two additions alone will, you know, improve that offensive line right away. So that, you know, I would think the offensive line would be a major concern of mine if I'm an Eagles fan or if I'm in that Eagles front office. And that definitely would be a concern of mine, protecting Michael Vick as well as being able to run the football. And so we'll kind of see how that kind of plays out. But I think defensively, you made a good point about the linebackers. But a lot of times if you have a good defensive line and a good secondary, you can get by with an average linebacking core. And so I still think defensively they should be pretty good. But I think overall their offensive line is like the number one question mark I have on their team.
Gotcha, gotcha. Good points, too. And another thing, we were discussing some stuff earlier regarding where are the Eagles getting all this money from? because typically they've been a team that's been pretty, you know, conservative, if you will, as far as spending that money. So you do wonder where all of a sudden are they kind of putting all their chips in and saying this is the year, if you will. I don't know. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things I shared with you off the record earlier today was one of the things the Eagles have going in their favor right now is that Michael Vick does not have a high cap number. And most teams' quarterbacks have a high cap number. You look at your team, the Falcons, I mean, Matt Ryan has a huge cap number. Tom Brady, huge cap number. Peyton Manning, huge cap number. The Saints with Drew Brees, huge cap number. And so you got, you know, quarterbacks of that caliber just have huge cap numbers. And Vic, with this only being his second year starting, they can still get by with him at a low cap number. If he has another great year like he had last year, then they're probably going to pay him big money next year. And then they will probably have to adjust their cap as well and maybe release some players. So this year they're able to go out and spend and spend and spend because, like I said, their quarterback is not taking up a high cap number like most elite quarterbacks in the league are.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of working to their advantage this year.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, like I said, so it's going to be very interesting. I'm kind of going to jump off a little tangent here. Did you realize that your Saints signed offensive tackle Alex Barron? Did you see that pop up breaking news anything yet or no?
Yes, I did see that.
Okay.
Saw that earlier today, and it's one of those kind of signings. Sean Payton likes to keep about four offensive tackles on the roster, and you have Zach Streif as the backup. Charles Brown, a second-round pick out of USC last year, he's still kind of battling a hamstring injury. And so in the event they have to put Charles Brown on the PUP list or something like that, he's just looking at Alex Barron for more so as depth purposes, not for a starting position, anything like that. And if Charles Brown comes back, you know, I don't even think Barron will make the team.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Here's another guy that dropped the tremendous talent, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think it's like it's one of those things they're trying to give a guy a look and in the event that Charles Brown is not ready by the regular season.
Gotcha. Well, very interesting here. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, I've been holding it off, but kind of 2 days off of this subject, but Randy Moss. Supposedly announced his retirement, if you believe what he's saying. I mean, he's been the source of a tremendous amount of quotes. He's been the name of my fantasy football team for the past couple of years with Straight Cash, homie. But very interesting that he had decided to hang up his cleats, if you believe what he's saying. And, I even posted, is he number one, a first ballot Hall of Famer? And then kind of interesting that here's a guy that, you know, he goes out kind of the way that he came in, just full of controversy, if you will, very interesting that he's decided to hang up his cleats after somebody that's being so talented, if you will.
Yes. Two things I'll say about the Randy Moss situation. Number one, I don't think he's retiring. I think I think if the right team comes along with the right offer, the right situation, I think he jumps at it. I think, you know, it might be one of these kind of things where he don't want to go to training camp kind of thing. But a team that needs a wide receiver right before the regular season starts, Randy Moss might jump on it. I think it may be one of them kind of things where he don't want to go to training camp anywhere. And number two, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? With all his controversy, even with all of his controversy, he is still a first ballot Hall of Famer. And in my opinion, there's only one wide receiver who's played the game that was better than Randy Moss, and that was Jerry Rice. And, Randy Moss was an electrifying talent, talent. And even if you, I mean, he maybe took some plays off. He probably could even have better numbers. But you're talking about one of the more electrifying talents to ever play the position. And I would rate him as the second best wide receiver I've ever seen play the game. I would only put Jerry Rice ahead of him now. But I still don't think he's retired.
Interesting point, too. I mean, I think I kind of agree with you, too, because, you know, even as mentioned, I mean, the Eagles were trying to put their, put their name out there to say, hey, you know, Randy, you know, all we need is you to have that missing piece. So I'm sure, you know, like you said, I don't know if Randy Moss is trying to be like Brett Favre and try to avoid a training camp, if you will, and try to take some plays off, if you will. But, yeah, at this juncture, you definitely got to you know, like what you hear as far as him being a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, yeah, I mean, here's a guy that I don't think anyone will ever put up the type of numbers as a rookie that he did in the way that he's changed the game, having somebody that big, that tall, and that fast, you know. I mean, just breaking, I know they had a great thing on him on the NFL Network talking about how he literally changed the way that, you know, teams defense the zone, you know. And so just it was kind of like you said, anyone that comes in and is able to have that impact and make you change the game, you got to give them credit and you got to make them a first ballot Hall of Famer, definitely.
No doubt about it. Yes, definitely. No doubt about it. And the wide receiver is one of the hardest positions for rookies to come in and have a huge impact, and he did that. And, you know, as far as rookie wide receivers, you're Randy Moss, Torrey Holt, and, you know, I might be a little biased, but I'll even throw Marcus Colson in there as rookie year. And but I would say, you know, they're probably the three wide receivers that I can think of that had over 1,000-something yards receiving as a rookie. And that's definitely not an easy position to contribute as a rookie.
Yeah, like I said, now I'm going to go on a little tangent once again. And, you know, me being a Falcons fan, I gave some love to the Saints, you know, so all my guys out there, I did show some love, you know, and that's the type of excitement that we have for Julio Jones, you know. So hopefully if he even comes half of that, you know, we're going to be excited too. But, you know, if everything goes well, I was doing a camp, hopefully this guy can come in and make an impact as a rookie and hopefully cause some challenges to the Saints, if you will, and all the other teams in the division, if you will. So definitely looking forward to that.
Julio Jones definitely have the elements in place. Now, look at the three guys that I just mentioned here. Randy Moss, his rookie year, he played with Randall Cunningham. Torrey Holt, his rookie year, if I'm not mistaken, he had Kurt Warner. And Marcus Colson, rookie year, he had Drew Brees. And Julio Jones has a quarterback in Matt Ryan. And so not only do I think having a good quarterback also helps for you to have that kind of production as a rookie. And you look at a guy like A.J. Green, who looks like he's going to be playing with Andy Dalton, and I can easily see Julio Jones having better numbers than A.J. Green based on who he's playing with. And so you can easily see that. And you also got to have the quarterback to go along with the player as well.
Wow, good point. Now, before we talk about some rookie linebackers here, I want to go on another, and I keep going on tangents because I kind of like to think about things that are that are, you know, sight of mind. But isn't it ironic that the Jets have signed Eric Plaxico versus going, obviously, to the Jets, and they kind of bring back the tandem of Santonio Holmes and Plaxico back together, very similar to whenever they were with Pittsburgh. Hopefully, we'll see how everything plays out with them, but that's a pretty interesting little tandem that are back together, if you will.
Yes, and, you know, the interesting thing about the Plaxico Burress sign is that the Jets didn't even try to work him out. I would think after a guy's been out of football for about 2 years, you would want to work him out, see what kind of shape he's in, and see what he has going for him. And that was a little surprising to me. I would at least like to want to see what kind of shape he was in after being out of football for 2 years. And I saw Rex Ryan's press conference, you know, comparing Plaxico to Hale Carmichael, you know, with his size, he being a great blocker. And I can understand that, but I would still have to been away for 2 years. I would have been a little bit more precautious. I would have just did a little bit more insight, see what kind of shape he's in, things of that nature, you know, before just signing them all willy-nilly without working them out.
You know what? Maybe he thought that he can strike lightning twice or something like that, because everything happened pretty good with Michael Vick. Now, granted, Vick took some time to get to where he is today, but maybe he was trying to think, I'm smarter than everyone else out there, and I'm going to make a jump on Plaxico and sign him without working him out, as you mentioned. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a good risk, and if you're going to take that risk, you better hope it pans out if you're Rex Ryan, if you will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to see. If it works out, of course, he definitely looks like a genius. But I, you know, just my personal opinion, if I was general manager of the Jets, I would have been a little bit more precautious and maybe signed Braylon Edwards instead.
Yeah, I'm not a big Braylon Edwards fan this time, man. You know, I don't think he's – I think he's a little overrated at this juncture. You know, drops too many passes right now for somebody that is as talented as he is. You know, I mean, like I said, obviously he's in the league. I mean, what can I say? But I don't know. I think he's definitely got a ways to go before he, you know, and as he said, no one's really making a move to sign him just right now. So we'll see if he's actually going to be playing on a team this year, you know, obviously with his talents and stuff like that too. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, the 49ers are recruiting him really hard.
And, oh, really? Okay.
Braylon Edwards. Yes, the 49ers and Arizona Cardinals are kind of in a dogfight for Braylon Edwards as we speak. And interesting, two teams in the same division. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see where he lands out of those two teams. But it doesn't look like he's going back to the Jets.
Okay. Breaking, look at that. Robert Ford is on it. I love it, love it, love it. Like I said, at this juncture, I guess we'll still talk about some moves here. I was going to touch base on something because Broncos have been in the center of the news as well. Kyle Orton, Tim Tebow, Brady Quinn, if you believe the reports that they're saying in Denver, and that I think I saw something that just popped on that said Kyle Orton's going to be the starter. Yeah, what does that mean if you're Tim Tebow? And what's going to happen if you're the Dolphins and you think that you're getting a quarterback and that may not be the case? So interesting things going right now.
Well, from my understanding, the Dolphins have kind of reinitiated those talks regarding Kyle Orton again. So I think that's one of those situations we're going to have to stay tuned and kind of see what happens there. But if Orton is in Denver, I think he beats out Tebow. I'm sorry. If he's still in Denver, I think he's a starting quarterback.
Yep,
yeah.
He's got to be.
But Miami is still involved in those talks, so I think we just have to stay tuned and see what happens with that situation.
Yeah, interesting thing, too. My barber, got to give a shout-out to him, Alex. He loves some of the Broncos. He loves the Broncos, so, you know, he's not as sold with Tebow, but he's like, whoever's going to be the quarterback, obviously I'm going to support him. But, you know, I keep telling him that John Fox is more of a guy that's known for playing, having a strong running game, and, you know, having a good defense. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what got him as far as he did in Carolina, you know. So
exactly.
Tebow
could really.
Time.
I personally think Tebow could be a John Fox kind of quarterback.
Huh.
You know,
the
running
game,
the ball, you know, getting them 2 yards on short yardage situations. Just like you said, John Fox is a guy that believes in running the ball and playing good defense. And you got no Sean Marino. They went out and signed Willis McGahee. So he wants to have multiple backs he can hand the ball off to. And with a quarterback who can also run, and Tebow. Tebow is not the runner like Vic, of course, but he's one of those power kind of runners. If you got fourth and one, he can get you that 1 yard. If you got third and three, he can get you those 3 yards. So he's more of that power kind of back, not the speed kind of quarterback. But I think Tebow can be a John Fox kind of quarterback down the road. You know, but if Orton is there, I believe Orton is still a guy, and maybe Tebow will be a starter next year. But if they're able to trade him to Miami, then, you know, obviously they'll turn over the reins to Tebow right now.
Good deal. Well, yeah, like I said, and it's just something that we'll have to definitely keep an eye on, too, because I'm sure by the next show we'll be talking about some interesting things as far as what's going down, if there are any big names that were cut before the preseason and what moves we're going to have. So it's always exciting, and like I said, you know, this is why we definitely love football. At this juncture, I guess let's switch gears and let's talk about the linebackers, if you will, some rookie linebackers that you think that are going to make an impact this year. It's obviously been a pretty interesting draft, if you will. So I guess I'm going to turn over the reins. I don't know if you're ready to talk about linebackers, Rob, that you think are going to make an impact this year, if you will, from this 2012 draft. 2011,
oh, yes.
Excuse me.
Yes, no doubt about it. I don't have many of the linebackers to talk about, but the number one guy I'm going to talk about, obviously, is the second pick of the draft, Von Miller.
Yes.
And this guy is I think this guy can play in a 4-3 and outside. He can be an outside rusher in a 3-4. Has amazing quickness off the edge and explosion. Got a chance to see him in a Cotton Bowl against LSU. I know he had a sack, so even though LSU won the game, he personally performed very well in the game. And I was thoroughly impressed with him. And he's obviously the one linebacker that I know will probably have an immediate impact in this particular season. And you know, I was a little surprised that he went that high, but, you know, he is the one guy that, as a matter of fact, he was the only linebacker taking an entire first round of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of goes to show you that he is the linebacker in this particular in this particular draft class. There are a couple of sleepers out there. Bruce Carter from North Carolina. He's a second-round pick to the Cowboys. If it wasn't for an injury, I think this guy would have been a first-round pick too. So I'm not sure if he'll be the impact player this year, but I think long-term, you're looking at a guy who may wind up playing like a first-rounder once he's healthy. And so the Cowboys may have a steal there. And other than that, I mean, we can kind of talk about our – I know both of our teams drafted some linebackers in this draft. You can talk about Keen Dent, if you will, from Georgia.
Gotcha. And I will. You know, that's an interesting thing, too. And speaking of a Georgia guy real quick, another guy that – before I talk about my guy was, you know, what do you think about Justin Houston? Do you think that was a – is he going to be linebacker, you think? Or is he going to be defensive end, if you will? What do you think
he's
going to end up playing, if you will?
Well, he went to the Chiefs. The Chiefs play a 3-4 defense. So, yes, he's going to be an outside rush linebacker in the Chiefs defense. And, you know, there were a little character concerns. He's a guy with ability and a guy that could be a sleeper. Yeah. If you go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they're one of the classic 3-4 defenses. They probably have never changed their defense going back to the early 90s. They've been running a 3-4 the most consistently. And if you go back and look at their when they draft their outside rush linebackers, it's always like third, fourth round. They don't spend a lot of first rounders on those guys. And they always find guys in those rounds to play that outside rush linebacker position. And you see the Chiefs, they got Justin Houston in the same spot in the third round. So, I mean, he could turn out to be one of those kind of players. If you go, like I said, you go back and look at the Steelers, you look at guys like Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, all those guys were third, fourth, fifth round draft picks. And the Steelers never would spend a first round on those guys. Well, not too often anyway. And so, you know, the Chiefs are hoping that they can have the same kind of success with finding a Justin Houston in the third round.
Gotcha. You know, like I said, that was just one of the guys I was just thinking about because, you know, obviously we had him as a Falcon on the Falcon board, but this juncture, you know, like you said, he kind of slipped due to some character concerns, and doesn't do good to smoke a little bit before you're getting drafted there, Justin, so probably why I dropped a little bit, but I'll talk about my guy first, and let's talk about your guy. You know, obviously, whenever we're looking at Akeem Dent, if you will, a lot of Falcon fans weren't really sure what we were thinking about. Now, at this juncture, you got to give Dimitroff credit because he's always kind of drafted ahead, if you will. So this may be one of those picks where he's a little bit thinking about the future. If anything does happen to Curtis Lofton, we were kind of scrambling to have a backup guy. So his 6 foot, 240-pound player that, you know, he's obviously used to play in middle at Georgia. He played inside a little bit. Definitely has some good instincts and awareness to quickly locate the ball, but, you know, we're not quite sure if he's that, like you said, if he's going to be a playmaker just yet. So hopefully he'll come in and be serviceable and hopefully do some good things for us in the future, if you will. So, you know, I don't know, maybe he'll play some special teams. Maybe he'll definitely buy for the backup role since Curtis Lofton is kind of the guy. But, you know, based upon what we had last year, if anything happened to Curtis Lofton, we were kind of up a creek, and if you will, unless, you know, Mike Peterson made a switch to middle linebacker. So, you know, I think it's more of a depth pick, if you will, kind of get us over to some more depth, if you will.
And Mike Peterson has that flexibility because he's a middle linebacker in Jacksonville as well. So, yeah, he is a guy that can play multiple positions at linebacker. So he gives you a little bit of flexibility there.
Yes.
You know, if he does have to, you know, step in the game or two for Curtis Lofton. Yeah.
If we have to. Now, you want to talk about your linebacker real quick? Did you guys draft it, if you will, or what?
Yeah, the Saints drafted two linebackers in the draft as well. Both of them from Illinois, believe it or not. Martez Wilson in the third round, Nate Bussey in the seventh round, both from Illinois. Martez Wilson, 6'4", 250, a lot of size, a lot of athleticism. Actually ran the fastest 40 time of any linebacker at the combine. A 4.48. Like I say, 6'4", 250. Started at middle linebacker at Illinois the last couple of years, but Greg Williams is moving him over to the strong side position. You know, with that size, he's a guy they got a lot of. They actually have a lot of high hopes for him, and even gonna let him compete for possible starting as a rookie. But we have to see if that happens, and you know, if he's ready to start as a rookie at the strong side position. Nate Bussey, seventh round. This was the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Year. So the Saints are definitely envision him being the guy to play special teams right away. And, you know, might be a second, third team kind of linebacker, but he's definitely a guy, has good speed, but they definitely see him contributing on special teams right away. And so so we have to kind of see how these positions shake out. I'm going to give another shout-out to an LSU linebacker that won the third round, Kelvin Shepard. At Buffalo, I think he's a guy that might be even have a chance to start right away for Buffalo as a third-round pick. Got a good size. He's about 6'3", 250. And, you know, with Buffalo playing a 3-4, you got two inside backer positions. And so he's another guy that just kind of came to my remembrance here that might even be able to, you know, start as a rookie as well for Buffalo.
Gotcha. Well, once again, man, it always seems like time flies whenever we're having fun. So we're about to obviously wrap up the show. So as always, don't forget to check us out. Facebook, Talking Sports, 12th Man, with Robert Ford and Andre Peterson here. We won't see you guys next week. I will be on vacation on my way to Hawaii. I'll be thinking about you guys, though. But definitely.
Oh, you don't have to rub it into us.
that's all good. But don't forget to tell your friends, everyone. We look forward to getting some callers on the air and obviously talk with football. Anything you want to say, Rob, as we wrap up the show?
Good night, people.
Just like that. We'll talk to you guys soon. And with that, Buffman is signing off. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Another good show, man. It always flies.
Yeah,
by.
Man. We was flying through information tonight. I got to get Bobby Abel's line down. He says, Bolle et les gens, people. I think it's a good night in French.
Okay.
Every time he ends the show, he does sports talk radio in New Orleans.
He
always says that, Bolle et les gens, people.
Yeah, we got to come with like a signature sign off or something like that, man.
But I don't want to steal his line, too, though. We got to come up with our
own. I know, I know. Mm-hmm. Dude, this is interesting. I am watching the NFL Network, and it says Lombardi says that Tebow is not in team's future plans. I don't know what that's about. That's interesting. If that's the case, that's what I was talking about on the show. It just literally popped up. So Michael Lombardi's saying that Tim Tebow. And if you read everything that they're talking about, too, man, they said that Brady Quinn was actually overtaking Tim Tebow. So I don't know if that's true or not either, man.
Wow. Well, you know what's interesting? You know, when you got to realize, I just turned on the NFL Network myself.
Mm-hmm.
John Elway was not the general manager of this team when they drafted Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, that's unbelievable.
You saw that?
And Josh McDaniels was the head coach. And, you know, Elway was a prototype quarterback. And so he's probably looking for somebody similar to him to be the quarterback.
So he's the GM of the Broncos, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, I kind of thought that Tebow could be kind of like the perfect John Fox kind of quarterback just because of the style of play. He, likes to run the ball and play good defense. But if Elway's looking for somebody similar to him, then I can understand that as well.
Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to put it out there. They got to put it out there to the fans. Say, hey guys, I don't care what you guys think. Tebow is not the answer, man. So, I don't know. The book is still out. I still wonder if he's gonna be that type of prototypical quarterback, mm-hmm. like you said. But you never know.
I'm still shocked he was a first round pick. That to me was still a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone pretty much thought that.
Mhm. Yeah, that's.
Oh, go ahead. What about to say?
That's still.
No, I don't want to cut
that's
you off.
Definitely still. That's definitely still a shocker. Mhm.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how his career ends up, man. But definitely, sir, I appreciate you taking time. I don't keep you too long, man. Obviously, we're getting ready to pack and get ready to head out, if you will. But you get
y'all
a week off
tomorrow?
Next week. No, we're leaving Friday, but. I'm still doing some work and knocking out some stuff. So I was packing tonight and just trying to get ready and, hopefully go into Thursday just ready to go, if you will. So, everything is good.
Cool beans. So when you guys back in town?
We're back on Sunday the 14th, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
when the Falcons preseason game, you must gonna miss it, huh?
Our first preseason game is August the 11th, the Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Mhm.
Yeah, so I can watch it overseas. I think I'm flashy able to catch it.
Mhm. Who are they playing?
We're playing the Dolphins. I gotta check who we're playing actually. I gotta see who we're playing, man. But yeah, it should be good. Like you said, man, it's been a whirlwind of things of events, man. With Trey. New job, new everything, getting everything settled down and stuff like that, and making sure we're on
the
show.
Yeah, I thought you put up a post about the new company you're working with.
yep, it's good stuff, man. Very exciting, man. So, I'll tell you a little bit more about it as I get settled. But you know what's funny?
Okay.
Last thing, you know, it's pretty funny. I was looking at the they're talking about the Panthers, and they put up the stat, and they're like, oh, let's talk to Jimmy Clausen. It said Jimmy Clausen 1-9 as a starter. He's all like, yeah, we're looking forward to having a great – that's the worst stat to put up there if you're going to talk on an interview. 1-9 as a starter. He's all like, yeah, we're looking forward to making surprise. I was like, oh, that's not
they
right.
They said Carolina is hoping that Cam Newton is ready to start day one.
They really want him
to start day one.
They signed Derek Anderson too, so they got their backup guy too. So Myers barking, if you will. But anyway,
and they still have Tony Pike. But they got
Tony Pike too. Okay, all
right. Yeah, Pike might be our man out there, of course.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Are they gonna cut Jimmy Clausen too?
I don't think so. I would think they'd still keep him around.
Okay,
all right. Yeah. I don't think he'll be the starter, obviously, but I think they keep him on a roster.
Isn't he a third string guy?
I think this year he's a third string guy. I think long term he can be the backup to Cam Newton. I mean, Derek Anderson, I think he's just there for veteran support this year. I don't see him being a Carolina long term.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like I said, very, very interesting. But like I said, woohoo! Thank you for taking the time, and we'll get that intro down. I think I got to definitely announce the number to call in a little bit more. And we'll start posting some stuff to Facebook and see how type of response we're getting, get some call-ins, and have some fun with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good deal.
All right, Chief.
All right, sir. Have a good one. I'll give you a call tomorrow. All right.
Okay. All right. Later.
All right. Bye.